All right, we are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are Galexis. We are so delighted to see you. We are so delighted to see your light, your energy. And we have established a nice vortex for you to open you, to help you, to move your energies, to release that which you do not want, to gain unto yourself that which you do, to send your programs, to your intentions, your choices out into your reality. We'll be doing that in a little bit. For now, we would like to speak about the topic scheduled for this evening. Expanding the limits of your imagination. In order to grow, to become more developed, more spiritual, more aware, more awake, more empowered, more free, more loving, you have to expand your and stretch your boundaries, your limitations. One of the most profoundly limiting boundary you have, and for most people, through your educational system and the reduction of creativity that occurs to those students that are there, imagination can become terribly restricted. You can have a lot of difficulty imagining that which has never been before. Most people find it very easy to imagine things that they hear on the news, things that have happened to them or their family or their friends, scenarios, possibilities. It's easy to imagine that because it's happened. You've recorded it in your memory. All you have to do to imagine something like that is to go back into your memory somewhere and retrieve from there an example of something that happened. And voila, you can imagine it happening again. A disaster, a problem, a limitation, a restriction, an argument, a difficult pattern, financial issues. You've had these in your past. So, in a sense, it's very easy to imagine, well, what if in the future I come across a difficulty? What if I come across this type of limitation, this type of situation? Of course it can be easy to imagine. And many people are very high degree specialists in imagining all sorts of dark possibilities for the future. Some people use their imagination to take things that happen to other people, place them in their future path, blow them up, and make them big scary things. Some people have a great gift at this. Some of these people actually go into business making movies in Hollywood. Good horror flicks, right? Builds upon all the horror flicks of the past. Or I'll just make it more gruesome. Let's make a twist on this one. Let's make it more terrorizing. That's all they need to do is a little ooch here and there. And of course, the news around the world can present tremendous amounts of nuance and opportunities of possibilities that can be added to a horror film. Other people have a fantasy built on what they would really like in their life, or they think that would solve all their problems. If only I could win the lottery, or if only I had this wonderful relationship, or if only I was healthy and perfectly healthy, if only I had all of this, then. But unfortunately, fantasy can be very limited. Most people think of fantasy and they just kind of zone in their fantasy. It becomes kind of two-dimensional. It's like a pretty movie. You don't have a lot of emotional depth in a fantasy, but it's nice. It's placating. It's tranquilizing. And some people use fantasy strictly for a tranquilizing effect. Their lives are so difficult that if they could just go and just daydream and have a nice fantasy where everything is easy, it's just about as good as taking a nice drink of some booze or a hit on a J or something. It sends them into a nice place of fantasy. Now, a lot of people consider this imagination. And they would not consider that a person's imagination is limited if a person is talking about grandiose schemes for the world. We'll have all this money, and then we'll put together this foundation, and we'll just educate everybody, and we'll bring all the best together and brightest together, and we'll just change this planet, we'll heal it, and we'll do this, and we'll call the ETs in, and okay. Maybe they won't buy that one, but oh, you're so imaginative. Oh, you've got such imagination. No, that's not really stretching imagination very much. It's stuff that people pick up here on TV or read a book or something, and they just kind of put it together in a kind of their own unique way. It doesn't stretch any boundaries at all. Because when people start talking about stuff that is way off the wall, other people don't really listen. Except those whose fantasies seem to overlap. Then they can get all excited and fantasize together. Still, it's not a tremendous stretch of the imagination. Oh, yes, you may think, oh, it's a stretch of the imagination to imagine that the flying saucers are going to land in the Capitol on the White House lawn, right? No, that's not. That's not stretching the boundaries of your imagination. That's not really beneficial to you. It might be fun and entertaining, but it's not beneficial. What makes imagination beneficial is that when you expand any of your limits, like your self-image, like your personal storyline, your history that you think is real, any of these boundaries, like a belief boundary, cause and effect, big boundary for a lot of people, big limitation rather. Anytime you stretch any of these, you gain a tremendous new opportunity to have possibilities in your life for things that have never happened before. I.e., magic, miracles. Now, there are some people who attract the miraculous to their lives. And the reason that they attract that is because their boundaries are becoming movable. They're becoming not so hard, not so tough, not so rigid. We went over this particular topic in our last discussion on allowing miracles. But in order to have opportunities of possibilities, to have magic as a natural part of your life, you need to stretch your boundaries. You need to stretch your self-image. Imagination is perhaps the most critical one for developing a sense of future. If you can't imagine it, you cannot manifest it. If you cannot imagine it, you cannot make it happen. If you cannot imagine it, you're not going to be able to piggyback on somebody else who you think may be able to imagine it. You need to imagine. Now, a lot of people are not trained. After all, were you ever trained in imagination? Oh, no. You were discounted if you imagine stuff. Oh, it's just your imagination. Yeah, you're a little discounted. So you began to trivialize it. Oh, it's not that important. It's not that significant. Unless you know, imagination is good if you're in the entertainment industry or if you're doing something real creative, like you're an artist or something. Yeah, you need imagination for that. It'd be helpful to have some imagination on how to make better money and how to make your business run better and how to make your relationships work. Yeah, that would be nice. Helpfully, your media, TV and internet, has provided you many, many pictures to imagine off of, and many of them dysfunctional. So how are you going to practice? How are you going to stretch? How are you going to grow your imagination when you utilize all of those pieces and stay stuck within the limiting imagination of other people's imagination, of other people's ideas, of other people's work? For you to imagine a different future for yourself will open you to that future. If you can imagine a new future for the world, it can open you to that world. And the elements and the frequencies and the situations that are congruent, that are in alignment with that imagination, can begin to appear in your life. It's powerful for manifestation. It's critical, in fact, if you want to try out a new idea, if you want to do something different. Right now, at this particular time on the planet, as you're moving through the void, as you're moving out of the dark chaos and preparing to, or some of you already get into, or jumping into the light chaos, you need to be able to imagine, because realities are happening faster than ever before. If you don't know how to imagine, how are you going to respond to things that are different? How are you going to be able to respond from a place that is empowered and free and loving? How can you trust and rely upon your reality to be loving, supportive for you if you cannot imagine it? So there are several techniques that we would suggest that you might look at and play with just to start revving up your imagination, start stretching it a little bit. First of all, we'd suggest that you look at your fantasies. Now, admittedly, your fantasies are not the greatest of imagination. You know, they're, okay, everything is working well, happily ever after, you know, that everything is just floating along really nicely. I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm loving, I've got plenty of money, everything's just working, everything's just great, that's just great. All right, so imagine. All right, imagine that fantasy in your style, in your way. And then, in your mind, Step into that fantasy, and then really get into the depth of it, get into the feeling of it, get into the sense of it. Place it somewhere in the future. Stretch it even further into the future. Make it even more glorious. Just amplify what's there. You're even happier. You're even more ecstatic. You're even more creative. You're even more healthy. Most people have trouble with that one even. You know, healthy is just like, just kind of ambling along. Healthy idea being based upon where you were when you were at your healthiest as a child or adolescent, where you didn't have to think about your body, where you didn't have to really think about stuff. You're mostly unconscious then. So your idea of health could be there. Then if you amplify it, you're even healthier. Okay, what would that be? Okay, I would be older, but I would have as much or more health than that. Hey, good, that's a good start. You go there. What would that feel like to have that level of health? What would it feel like to wake up in the morning filled with vitality and energy and vigor, strength, with a body that's just strong and reliable? Intensify that. The point we're making here is just take your fantasy and begin intensifying each piece of it. That's one way to kind of keep moving there, because after a while it's going to not make any sense at all. You keep intensifying, then you're going to start imagining. Then new stuff will start to show up because you've got to go further. You expand it a second time, you expand it a third time. Now, okay, now, you know, we're moving another year or two in the future. Now expand to there. Well, it's even more. How can that be? It's even more. Then you start to think, well, what am I going to add to that? What is the richness of that? What is the beauty of that? What is the grandeur of it? What's beyond all the forms and the functions and the manifestations that I had before? What's beyond that? What's the next step? Sometimes people get some very interesting glimpses of who they really are. Some interesting glimpses into their true nature. And even by doing this, some people end up stepping into a greater sense of self, pushing the boundaries and limitations that they've held of belief, being able to expand their imagination, being able to change that cause and effect and go beyond and outside of all that linear progression. It starts to get exponential. It starts to get wild, get free. That's one technique of busting and kind of expanding your limits of your imagination and just kind of getting yourself unlocked from your limitations. Another method is to look at what it is you would like the world to be. And now that means that you have to look first at what you don't like in the world. Because a lot of times you can only imagine starting from the negative, which is what is. Say there are certain factors in the world you just don't like. You don't like certain political structures. You don't like the way the economy is. Or you don't like the way people treat each other. You have this list of things that you don't really like, the way that's going on the planet. The way people mistreat others, mistreat animals, pollute rivers, oceans, damage the environment. How they're careless, negligent, malicious even. Yeah, there is that. What would the world be if nobody was there anymore? What if everyone was like you? Wanting peace, love, cooperation, responsibility, empowerment. What if everybody was where you're at in your desires for a cleaner environment, for a pristine river moving through a pristine forest? What if everybody on the planet felt like you did? What would it be like? What would that society be like? Now, here is where your imagination can begin to stretch. Because you can imagine yourself there, because you already have those opinions, those preferences, those orientations. But you have a lot of limiting beliefs on judgments about other people. All those people and the corporations and political heads and for whom that the environment is just a place to rape and pillage. What would that do to a corporation if they really, truthfully changed? What would it mean to all the people working in sweatshops in Asia? What would it mean to all the people going into the mines in China without protection, without any escape if anything happened? No safety features. People working in factories in the most destitute places in the world, where people are injured almost daily, or workers working the fields loaded with pesticides and chemicals. What would change? What would happen instead? What would those corporations do? How would they treat these people? How would they treat the environment? What if every agricultural business grew organic or biodynamic? What would that be like? What would it be like if everybody recycled? Everybody promoted sustainability. Everybody was aware of their ecological footprint. Governments cooperating, lawmakers making laws. What would that world be like? Play around with that. Play around with everyone being on the same page with you as far as your best and most honorable and highest intentions, desires, and preferences. Oh yeah, you've got some that aren't quite so high, but you're going to just do your exercise with the ones that are just more of your brilliant side of yourself, more of your loving side, more of your empowered, free spiritual side. What would it be like? What would the school system be like? What would medicine be like? What would be on TV? What kind of shows would be on TV? If you look on most TV shows, they're mostly violent in the evening and prime time. It's like, there's clever private detectives, cops, or somebody who's kind of untangles, figures out a crime, and they go after the criminal, and there's lots of gunfire and special effects and so forth. Lots of emotional pain and trauma. What would it be like if nobody wanted to see those? What would people be watching on TV? What would the shows be? Oh, now, if you don't stretch your imagination, you're going to slide back. Well, they're all going to be like, little Disney family shows. No. What are adults? Empowered adults with complexity in their lives, richness and depth in their lives. What are they going to want to watch? People who are caring. People who have a lot of different interests. What are they going to watch? What's going to be popular in this world? As you move through this particular exercise, you'll find yourself thinking up all sorts of perhaps new gadgets, new inventions, new social structures, new ideas for habitat, new ways of doing things. There's going to be a different energy on the planet. There's going to be a different energy in you as you imagine it. But make it as real, make it as rich, make it as complex as you can. And you'll find that your imagination will keep stretching and stretching and stretching. Now, this is the technique that is used by people who write science fiction. unfortunately, many of them are limited in their imagination and they won't stretch. They won't stretch their reality or worldview. But they'll create something that's kind of similar to what's going on now. But just with a lot of, you know, fancied up, gussied up, you know, spiffied up, you know, outfits that you wear and a few high-tech gizmos that you don't use now. Or what you use now just spiffied up a lot better. But you see, some years ago, people imagined, what would it be like if everybody had a computer? And henceforth came the personal computer. What if everybody could have a phone anywhere they were? And they could get in touch with people if they're broken down on the road, they could call. Wow, what a concept. Hence the cell phone. And people with the cell phone said, you know, boy, I wish I had, here I have my cell phone. This is great and convenient, but I wish I had access to my computer. I'm out on the road. I can't set up my computer. I don't have my, how about some Wi-Fi? How about an iPhone? How about the computer on the phone? I can just carry it with me. How about just a pad? I can carry my computer with me, and it's becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, and I can access it from my phone, and I can do this, and I can do that. And it was done. Now, we're not saying that you need to invent gizmos and gadgets for the future, unless that's fun for you. What is really needed, what's really important here, is to imagine and dream the social structure. What it's going to be like between people. What are relationships going to be like? Because when all is said and done in your life, it's all about relationships. Gadgets, you know, they're just fun. They are cool, interesting. But what has meaning and what is important is who, it's the people. Your relationship, your interactions with people. That you can have harmony in your interactions with people. That the children can be raised in joy and in creativity rather than squelched, as is so often the case now. You can dream it. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be the one to go out and put it together. You don't have to do that. But if you can use your imagination, you can stretch and dream it. And what you will be doing will be creating a world for you. You'll be creating an environment for you to grow in, for you to be nurtured in. It will be created first on a frequency level. Your creativity will expand by leaps and bounds. And that's just creativity for anything. It could be creativity for art, for music, for drama, for writing, for dance. It doesn't matter. Once you stretch your imagination, it's all there for you. That's why it's so important. Not to just keep imagining stuff in just slightly adjusted ways, but to really stretch to something that seems totally improbable right now. But you hold that energy. Somebody, if it's not you, somebody's going to pick up on it. Somebody else is going to be reaching for a dream. And they'll find yours floating on the ethers amidst all the rage and the terror, amidst all the guilt, the fear, the anger, the despair. In there will also be on the frequency waves. Imagination of what can be and what it might feel like to be the person who lives that. It is time for an evolution, and the evolution is indeed happening. You are living in a third level civilization. Third level civilization is a civilization that's organized by the rule of law. That was the first attempt to try to coordinate and organize people into a coherent social structure and social dynamic where people could have certain variances or nuances of individuality, but there would be a consistency, there would be a sense of order about the society that would help people feel more secure. Government's main function is to maintain a sense of stability and consistency and to protect you from the chaos. It's not doing a terribly good job at it, but that was its initial idea, that it could be of benefit to help people coordinate things so you could come together. There could be some consistency, and people would feel very comfortable. It's like the ritual of greeting people. Hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? It's a ritual. It's just an instinctive thing. It's a training. It's a rule. It's just kind of a social rule. That's order. That's order. It gives people a sense of safety. Because, you see, if you said, hello, what are you doing here and what do you want? How's the other person going to respond? Well, I'm here because, I came over to say hello to you. I wanted to give you this or I wanted to get that from you or whatever. You know, that's not very polite. That doesn't make people feel secure. So let's numb it all out. Let's kind of blank it up with a little ritual. And you work your way to those places that are scary. You dream beyond that. What if people could just be who they are? And everybody could give and receive love. What would that be? It would be a society that was aligned and organized around love. Third level civilization corresponds to the third chakra of your body. The first having to do with survival. The second one having to do with limited protective community. Family. Family first. Everybody else can go down the tube. But me and mine, together. Me and mine, together against the world, we will survive. To the third level, we survive because there's a sense of order and we know what we need to do and how to do it and how to function in a society with other people who are different from us. Not that we want them to be different from us. We want that order to make everybody just the same so we feel totally safe. You'll notice that a lot of times people who are very fundamental in their religion want everybody else to believe exactly the way they do. Number one, it reinforces their beliefs, makes them feel that they're okay and that they're right. That's very important. People want to be right. Secondly, there's no threat there because you know exactly where that person's coming from. So it's safe. There's order. There are rules. You got to follow the rules. We're moving to fourth chakra. Fourth chakra civilization, it is not a rule of law and order. It is chaotic, but it is filled with love. It is aligned to love. Dream it. Stretch. Imagine it. And all your creative gifts will open up. Everything can open up. When you stretch in love, even imagining more love, it opens up a greater sense of potentiality for beliefs, greater self-image, a beautiful a more fascinating, more magical storyline for yourself and your world. You're doing quite a service when you stretch your imagination. And it will start attracting to you greater possibility. You'll become more magnetic. You will attract more to you. We don't like to use the term, so popular it is right now, law of attraction. We don't like to use the word law, because we have felt that when we use the word law, people say, oh, it's a rule, order. This is the way it must be. And their imagination shuts down. We don't like to use that word law, because it isn't really a law. Only if you want it to be a law at certain levels, we'd say it's more like a preference of attraction. But try to explain that, you know. Doesn't sound as punchy in a law and order-based society. The preference of attraction. Any takers? No, I want to know the rules. If I know the rules, then I can do this stuff. I can make that money happen. I can get it done. I can achieve. I can be top of the world. Preference? Oh, I have plenty of preferences. They never come true. Blah, 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 blah. You can get lots of negative thinking with that. What we want to encourage, though, is positive expansion. What are your preferences for the world that you want to live in 10 years from now? Dream it up. You can stretch beyond the current limits of your imagination. And many of you will see over the next several years, those of you who are dreaming, and the collective that is beginning to dream and stretch the imagination, that all sorts of new careers, new types of creativity, new technology, new stuff that you wouldn't have imagined before. This doesn't seem to be logical. It doesn't seem to be an extension of what has been, will appear. You might even participate. You might even do one of these new things yourself. It's not going to be limited to scientists and laboratories. It's only going to be available, though, to those who imagine and who can stretch the limits of their imagination. A new world awaits. And it's a lot of fun. All right, at this time we'd like to turn our attention to you, and if you have a question that you would like to ask on any topic, it doesn't have to be about the topic of the evening. All right.
Hello, Galactus.
Hello.
I have a question on this topic. Basically, I was wondering if you could expand a little bit more on the idea of how do you bridge the gap between imagination and manifestation, because what I find is that I have a lot of creative ideas, you know, whatever they might be, artistic ideas or business ideas, whatever. And when I try to get them into manifestation, a lot of things meet the realities of the seemingly limiting world, whether those are financial limitations or circumstantial limitations. And what I find is that imagination seems to get discouraged when the ideas fail to realize manifestation. So is there a way to encourage imagination to manifest more easily when we're in a world where sometimes we deal with limitations?
All right. Well, the thing is that you've got to look at who is imagining. When you use one of these techniques that we're talking about, you're really pushing into the future. You're pushing yourself into the future. You're pushing your life into the future. But what's happening here is that most of these ideas and everything, you're trying, first of all, to see the practical application. In a sense, these ideas are in response to the goal. They're not ideas that you would have just for the sake of the idea. It's not. There's a sense that you want these ideas to serve a certain goal or a certain achievement or a certain creation or manifestation. And as soon as you have that, you're right back in the rule of law and order. You're back in the law of attraction rather than the preference of attraction. So what we would suggest is the way to get beyond that so that you're magnetizing the manifestation, allowing it just to be attracted to you, to just show up magically in your reality, to have that support. You need to go into a reality in which the types of ideas and the dreams that you have are what everybody, normal people have, regular people have, and that everybody's enthusiastic about these things and doing these kinds of things, where you can feel a sense of juice that, you know, society-wide, that you're living this stuff and that it's natural for you. Because what you're doing here is that you keep thinking these nice ideas and so on, but you keep putting them in a context of what is happening now. What is really going to magnetize to you is for you to get that energy and imagination planted into your future. And then go step into that future, claim that future, be the person that's in that future. And then bring that energy to the now. In other words, then your future is going to come and influence your now, rather than hopefully thinking that maybe you can find some support, you could figure out some pathway to get to that glorious future. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right. So, in a sense, manifestation comes very naturally if you don't, if you stay in fantasy, it will not come very naturally. Of course, because fantasy doesn't have enough depth and richness. That's where you have to stretch your imagination into living your life as a person for whom some of these ideas have become real, and going into greater detail of what it would be like to live your life in that, you begin to create a very complex field of vibration around you. And this field of vibration will start to attract it to you. So be careful. It's easy to get snagged in the fantasy. And it's easy to stay here in the present and think, here's where you've got to move it. No, you move it in the future and you receive it here. This is the place of receiving. So it's a kind of a different way of looking at manifestation.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. In fact, let's see, this is April. Next month, we're going to do a workshop, a weekend workshop, in the Bay Area called Money Magic. We're going to be doing these types of techniques. And we're going to plant some resonance and get the receiving going. We did a love and healing evening called Money Magic. And you might just want to go and just feel that energy. A lot of it was about receiving. All right. All of you. We're going to do some of this tonight in our final closing, in our closing meditation. Okay. All right, who's next?
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
Hi. I was listening to what you were saying for the last gentleman, and it seems to me that it's like you're imagining something different, and doesn't have to be money, that's for sure, huh? For me, I'm thinking what I would like to imagine is myself being a better person, because that would feel better to me.
Better than what? You're a better person than what?
Than I am now.
And what would that mean? Just give us an example.
Well, it would mean being more loving, kinder, not so judgmental. Not so quick to,
all right, okay.
You know, judge. Because I'd like to feel better about myself. So I could imagine that. I was starting to do it a little bit.
Good.
You know.
Doesn't it feel very light and freeing?
Yes.
Yeah, so much more fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why I keep doing it this way, but... Yeah, but you have to imagine. I see that you have to imagine it first.
Oh, absolutely, and you have to imagine what the state of being is.
What that would feel like.
What would it feel like to be a person who didn't judge and had lots of love and had a lot of joyous experiences with people in their lives?
Yeah.
And what if you were around other people who were very harmonious and filled with love and didn't judge? You know, one of the reasons that you see yourself as having judged is because you were put on the defensive an awful lot. you had to survive, in a sense, to kind of pull yourself through a whole bunch of very stressful, kind of challenging years in your life. You had to utilize your judgment. It was at a certain point in your life, it was actually useful for you, all right?
And learn to defend myself.
You had to defend yourself. You had to figure yourself out, and so you had to say what was not you, and what so that you could start to figure out what was you.
Yeah.
You see, you had to make all these distinctions and separations and so on, not actually true to anybody's true spiritual nature, because the spiritual nature, essentially, of every human being is that of oneness. But under your particular pathway, you were put under tremendous duress to distinguish yourself from other people.
Yeah, so I do that.
So that you could build your individuality.
Yeah.
But you've done it.
Yeah.
You've done it. You don't have to defend yourself anymore. You've done it. So the tool of judgment is no longer useful. All right? But recognize that. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you if you judge. It just means like you're using an old rusty tool.
Yeah.
And it means that you've shrunk yourself, your self-image back into a smaller you.
A time when that was useful.
To that time when it was useful, yeah. So anytime you use a technique, you shrink back to the time that you developed that technique. It's kind of automatic. It's one of those, you know, habitual things that people do. It's just what people do.
Yeah.
So you have to develop in your imagination an idea of what a new habit would be like in your daily life. Yeah. What would it be like if you woke up in the morning and there was no judgment? What if you woke up in the morning and you just loved yourself? What would that feel like? What would it be like if you went all day long and you was like, you know, you never had to defend yourself. You never looked at, well, distinguishing yourself from another person, or even being concerned about whatever they're doing or how they're doing it, in a sense. What would that be like? My, that'd be really free, wouldn't it?
That would be weird.
Wouldn't that be? Yeah, see, that's what we're saying. But you see, that's where you want to stretch your imagination, is in to look at your daily life from moment to moment. How would it be? How would you live? How would you think? What would you be thinking? What would you be feeling? What would you be, you know?
What would that be like?
Yeah. And how would it feel to do all of that and be that person? Now you're stretching. Now you're starting to imagine what has never been. You see?
Right. It never has for me. Yeah.
It's never been there yet. But look at where you are right now and look at where you were 10 years ago. You've come a long way.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm still judgmental, but yeah, in some ways.
Yeah, but look how much more aware you are.
Yeah.
How much more you care.
Yeah, I do.
You do.
I care a lot about people.
Yes, you do.
Anyway.
Yes, you do. Right. And what if you were free to care and there was none of this? See, part of what the judgment tends to do is that you're trying to protect yourself from being eaten up by other people. You know, if you really care, Are they just going to come and suck you dry?
You yeah, see? Because that has happened in the past.
Exactly.
I just let myself care, and then I get screwed.
Yeah, you get screwed. So there you are. Okay, I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to put my shield up, okay? I'm going to judge in advance. Is this person the type of person who's going to mess me up? I have to be careful. I have to tiptoe here.
Yeah.
I can't love easily now because I've got to make sure I'm not going to get ripped off.
Exactly.
Okay, but can you imagine yourself powerful enough that it would never happen? Can you imagine yourself being able to say in a loving way, I love you, and no?
Oh, yeah, that's the problem.
You see, you've defined love from an adolescent point of view. Love is about being a doormat.
Yeah, that's what I can't seem to figure out. I think I have to keep being a doormat.
Well, that's right. No, that's not love. That's an adolescent version of love. That's a version of love that you had when you were 16.
And it's manipulative.
Oh, gosh, it's manipulative every which way. But it's destructive both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are a doormat to somebody, that's destructive to them as well as to you. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
So can you imagine now, in your caring for people, in your loving people, that you can love them, and when they turn and they say, I want more from you, come on, give me more, give me more, give me more, you just radiate more love to them. And it doesn't wear you out at all, doesn't tire you at all. You don't have to do everything for them. You just say, I support you. I'm enthusiastic for you. I want you to be happy. I really do. And I'll send you some beautiful loving thoughts and so on. But I'm not going to come up and come over to your house and clean up after you. I'm not going to take care of you all day long. You know, I love you, but this is not my job.
I know,
hire somebody to do this, right?
Now, I was thinking about that today. It always seems like if they ask me for something, and then if I say no, then that's wrong. And yet maybe I don't want to.
If you don't want to, you must be able to say no in a loving way and be loving.
Yeah.
You can be loving and say no at the same time. That's why we brought that up.
Yeah.
You've got to imagine what that feels like. You've got to imagine that it feels okay to say no. It feels okay to set your boundaries because this is where you've been challenged all your life. Is who are you as opposed to all these other people?
Hence the judgment.
Hence the judgment, which is the distinguishment of boundary. You see?
Okay.
You can let go of all the judgment if you can set up a boundary and love yourself and empower yourself enough to hold to it.
So if I wanted, a problem I have with judgment is if I want to do things, often I kind of want to do things a different way than is the established norm of how everybody's doing it.
Right,
now.
Right, of course. That comes along with with being a spiritual person.
and it's like, I can see coming in, this does not make sense because everybody does it this way, even as a child. Everybody does it this
That's
way.
That's right.
I don't want to do it that way.
And you, and yes, you were rebellious even as a child.
Very.
Right. And you had to figure out, well, if I don't want to do that way, then who am I? Why am I different? What do I need to do? How do I need to do it? You've been on a journey.
And there has to be a separation between you and the person who, rightfully, they don't have to do it my way either. They don't.
Oh,
and
no.
So, but then there's going to be a disagreement. And you know.
Well, but that's your anticipation.
Yeah.
You see, that's what you have.
So I get mad
right
away.
That's your storyline, is that there's been disagreements.
Yeah.
Just as soon as you say, look, I want to do it differently, there's a disagreement. You have that written in your storyline. So therefore, all the people that you have to negotiate with want to do it the way you don't want to do it. So until the day comes to where you say no, and you break the story, you stop the story.
The story.
The old story of you. You the doormat. You break the story. The story's gone, done. What's the new you going to be? Who's the new you? If you're not a doormat, you're going to be a loving, empowered person. What's that? A person who knows her boundaries, who can give and open and love and love and love, but that giving is not requiring her to sacrifice anything Nothing. No sacrifices. No compromises. What would that be like? It's imagination time.
Yeah.
And it's, you're not that far from it. That's not going to take a big stretch of your imagination, but you're going to need to pay some attention to it in detail and just work it out in detail in your mind. What would it feel like? All these circumstances you've had with people.
Yeah.
All the type of people that you judge, or the people that you feel judge you, or the people who go separate paths or conflicting paths with you, whatever. Go through some of these scenarios that you've had in your past that are typical, quote-unquote typical for you, okay? And rewrite them according to you, the new you.
I'd have to figure
that out. And see, like, what would you do instead? How would you, what would you say instead? What would you feel instead?
It seems like the only choice is either the same old way that everybody's doing it, then there's harmony, or...
No,
my way, and then everybody's mad.
Right. Doing it the way that everybody does is not harmony. What that basically is what we call consistency. That's law and order.
I hate it.
Right. You didn't come for law and order, dear one. You came to be part of the dreamer group for the fourth level civilization, the aligned with love. And so a fourth level person doesn't relate to third level dynamics.
I hate it.
Just don't do it. But you got to stop judging third level.
Yeah, but I judge it, yeah.
Yeah, you judge it. And so by judging it, you stick yourself back in it.
Yeah.
You attract to yourself people who are going to challenge you over it over and over and over again. So when you start letting go of the judgment about what the world is right now, you can start to imagine what it could be for you and for other people. It's really essential basis of freedom.
Yeah, because I think that I could realize that although I want to do it the way however I want to do it, there's really nothing wrong with them wanting to do it that other way. I mean, that doesn't
right. There's
really
nothing,
hurt
no. There's
me.
Nothing wrong with that, and you can laugh about it. You got to be able to laugh about it. It's just part of the zaniness of reality, the craziness of things.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah.
It is.
It's not as serious as I make it.
Well, you make it serious because you're trying very hard to figure out your boundaries so you don't get lost and become a doormat yet again. I'm going to have such a talk. I'm going to have a boundary here. I'm going
to... I don't have to do it their way.
That's right. So I'm not going to let them in.
Okay.
I'm not going to care. I'm going to shut off my caring.
Yeah, and I hate myself for that because I really am caring.
You are. That's why we said it. You have a tremendous heart. You're a fourth level person trying to fit into a three level world.
Yeah.
You know, so it's time for you to imagine your fourth level world.
Yeah.
And start living in your fourth level world and bring the three level world up to you.
Instead of the other way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Letting your future determine what comes on.
Instead of the past, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to get it.
Right. Now, we would recommend that you would listen to the workshop that we, or the Love and Healing Evening that we did in January, called Your New Story. It's really takes you detail by detail through breaking your old storyline and moving into your new story.
Cool.
It's extraordinarily freeing. And that helps you with your imagination. But keep stretching your imagination even further. Don't stop there. As soon as you kind of get the idea how you can say no and how you can still feel okay and feel good about yourself saying no, take it to the next level. How can you say no and even more loving so that they are totally, really okay with that no?
Yeah.
And you're really happy, and you're just able to really love them.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next level. What's the next level going to be of that? Oh, my gosh, just getting to that level is really... No, come on, let's go to the next level. And then the next level. Push it. Push the envelope.
Wow.
And they'll bring in your creativity. It'll bring in your imagination. It'll become more colorful.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
And you'll be able to really live the life you really want to live.
Yeah.
Which is a life that's free and loving, empowered, and really feeling safe in your reality.
Yeah.
Because people who judge do not feel safe. People who do not feel safe learn how to judge. It just maintains the lack of safety.
Yeah.
And love and safety don't kind of, you know, love and lack of safety rather, or fear of lack of safety or insecurity. Love and insecurity, they don't kind of blend very well. They're two different realities, really.
Yeah. I see.
And you'll just step up to the plate and you'll just own your new reality. And guess what? You're going to attract different people to you. People that not necessarily are wanting you to sacrifice yourself for them or do it their way. And they're not going to like you if you don't do it their way. You won't attract these people anymore. You won't be in acting from your internal adolescent self anymore. With all those suppositions and assumptions and expectations.
You see? Yeah, and that rebelliousness is adolescent.
All that that's adolescent. When do people rebel? That's yeah. adolescence.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got stuck in your adolescent self somewhere trying to define yourself. That's yeah. what everybody does in adolescence, is try to define, well, who am I? You know, and everybody wants to belong. And there's this dynamic about forcing, want you needing to belong, and at the same time you want to be independent and unique, but there's this, you're torn back and forth and yeah. back and forth. That's the adolescent dilemma.
Yeah.